जय ओम विष्णुपाद परमहंस परिव्राजगाचार्य अष्टोत्तर शत श्री श्रीमान अभय चरणारविंद भक्तिवेदांत गोस्वामी महाराज शील प्रभुपाद की जय ओम नित्यलीला प्रविष्ट ओम विष्णुपाद परमहंस परिव्राजगाचार्य अष्टोत्तर शत श्री श्रीमान भक्ति सिद्धांत सरस्वती महाराज शील प्रभुपाद की आनंदगोड़ी वैष्णव वृंद की नामाचार्य श्री हरिदास ठाकुर की प्रेम सहो श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधार श्रीवासादि गौर भक्त वृंद की श्री श्री राधा कृष्ण गोप गोपीनाथ श्याम कुंड राधा कुंड गिरी गोवर्धन की वृंदावन धाम की मायापुर धाम की मधुरपुरी धाम की जगन्नाथपुरी धाम की द्वारकापुरी धाम की गंगमाई की यमुनमाई की तुलसी देवी की भक्ति देवी की सामवेद भक्त वृंद की गौ प्रेमानंदी ऑल ग्लोरीज टू द असेंबल्ड डिवोटीज ऑल ग्लोरीज टू द असेंबल्ड डिवोटीज ऑल ग्लोरीज टू असेंबल्ड डिवोटीज ऑल ग्लोरीज श्री श्री गुरु एंड श्री गौरांग ऑल ग्लोरीज श्री प्रभुपाद नमाम विष्णुपदाय कृष्ण प्रसाद भूदले श्रीमती भक्तिवेदांत स्वामी निधि नामिने नमस्ते सरस्वतीदेव गौरवाणी प्रजारिणे निर्विशेष शून्यवादी पाश्चात्य देशधारिणे ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय संसारसागरे मग्नं दीनं मां करुणानिधे अग्राह गृहीतांगं मामुद्धर भवार्णवात् श्रीमद्भागवदाख्योऽयं प्रत्यक्ष कृष्णमेव हि स्वीकृतोऽसि मया नाथ मुक्त्यर्थं भवसागरे मनोरथे मदीयोऽयं सफलः सर्वदा त्वया निर्विघ्नेनैव कर्तव्यं दासोऽहं तव केशव भवे भवे यथा भक्ति पादयोर्सव जायते तथा कुरुष्व देवेश नादस्त्वं नो यद प्रभो नाम संकीर्तनं यस्य सर्वपाप प्रणाशनं प्रणामो दुःखशमनं तं नमामि हरिं परम् जन्माद्यस्य यतोऽन्वया इतरदस् अर्थेष्वभिज्ञस्वरान् तेने ब्रह्म हृदाय आदिकवये मुह्यन्ति यत्सूरयम् तेजोपारिमृदं यथा विनिमयो यत्र त्रिसर्गो मृषा धाम्ना स्वेन सदा निरस्तकुहकं सत्यं परं धीमहि धर्मप्रोज्झितकैदवोत्र परमो निर्मत्सराणां सदां वेद्यं वास्तवमत्र वस्तु शिवदं तापत्रयोन्मूलनम् श्रीमद्भागवते महामुनिकृते किं वा परैरीश्वर सद्यो हृद्यवरुध्यतेऽत्र कृतिभिः शुश्रूषुभिः तत्क्षणान् निगमकल्पतरोर्गलितं फलं शुकमुखादमृतद्रवसंयुतं पिबद भागवतं रसमालयं मुहुरहो रसिका भुवि भावुकाः सच्चिदानन्दरूपाय विश्वोत्पत्यादिहेतवे तापत्रय विनाशाय श्रीकृष्णाय वयं नमः यं प्रव्रजन्तम् अनुवेदमभेदकृत्यं द्वैपायनो विरहकादरमज्जुहाव पुत्रेति तन्मयदयत्तरवोऽभिनेतु तं सर्वभूतहृदयं मुनिं हानतोऽस्मि यस्यानुभावमखिलश्रुतिसारमेकम् अध्यात्मदीपम् अतिथिदीर्षदां तमोन्धम् संसारिणां करुणयाः पुराणगुह्यं तं व्याससूनम् उपयामि गुरुं मुनीनां नारायणं नमस्कृत्य नरं चैव नरोत्तमं देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जयमुदीरये कमनीयकिशोरमुग्धमूर्ते कलवेणुक्वणिदातृदाननेन्दोः मम वाजि विजृम्बदा मुरारे मधुरीं न कनिकापि नमः ॐ विष्णुपदाय कृष्णप्रस्थाय भूतले श्रीमते भक्तिवेदान्तस्वामिनि नामिने नमस्ते सरस्वतीदेवीं गौरवाणी प्रचारिणे निर्विशेषशून्यवादी पाश्चात्यदेशतारिणे श्रीमद्गुरुचरणारविन्दाभ्यां नमः वन्दे नन्दव्रजस्त्रीणां पादरेणुमभीष्टश यासां हरिगदोद्गीतं पुनादीभुवनत्रयं गोपीचरणारविन्दपरमाणवे नमः पीताम्बरं करविराजितचक्रशङ्खं कौमोदकी सरसिजं करुणासमुद्रं राधासहायमतिसुन्दरमन्दहासं वातालहेशमनिशं हृदि भावयामि कोमलं कूजयन् वेणुं श्यामलोयं कुमारक वेदवेद्यपरं ब्रह्म भासदां पुरतो मम मूकं करोति वाचालं पङ्गुं लङ्घयदे गिरिं यत्कृपातमहं वन्दे परमानन्दमाधवं श्रीकृष्णाय नमः श्रीमदिराधिकायै नमः सर्वत्र गोविन्दनाम सङ्कीर्तनं गोविन्द गोविन्दम् So, last Sunday, we are looking at this verse 15 in the 6th chapter, isn't it? Yunjan evam sadatmanam yogi niyadamanasa shantim nirvana paramam mat samstam adhigacchati. Isn't it? That's the verse. Yunjan evam sadatmanam yogi niyadamanasa shantim nirvana paramam mat samstam adhigacchati. Thus practicing, Krishna is saying, thus practicing control of the body, mind and activities, the mystic transcendentalist attains to the kingdom of God or the abode of Krishna by cessation of material existence. So here Krishna says, who is a yogi? Yogi is one who focuses his, who keeps his mind on the soul. Who keeps his mind on the soul? So, what does that mean? What does that mean? Keeping the mind on the soul means, in other words, when the chittavritti is inside, or the thought waves that is coming through, once that has stopped, automatically the mind will transfer itself into the soul. So, the mind is an undefinable thing. It cannot be defined by anybody. What is mind? If you ask someone what mind means, Shastram defines anirvajaniya shakti. That means one something that cannot be defined at all. The mind comes out from the soul, and mind is understood to be in the form of chitavrati, isn't it? Thought waves coming through. That is what is mind called. As soon as this thought waves stops, or the chitavrati stops, mind goes and gets dissolved in the soul. Immediately it gets dissolved in the soul. That is what Krishna is saying here. That the absorbing the mind in the soul means stopping these thought waves coming through, and eventually the mind gets itself, its identity loses. It loses its separate identity from the soul. All these things, senses, mind, intelligence, ego, they are all originating from the soul. They all go back to the soul as well at the end. So, once you stop this chittavritti, in other words, the thought waves that is coming through, then this imaginary thing called mind doesn't exist after that. It's a sangalpa vastu. They call it sangalpa vastu. Sangalpa vastu means it is an imagination in us that the thing called mind exists. Nobody knows where it exists, but it does exist. Everybody knows that. So as soon as all the thought waves stops, immediately the mind gets dissolved in the, goes back to its place where it's originated from, and therefore chitavritti has stopped, that therefore that sangalpa vastu, which has come from our sangalpam, because of all the thought waves are nothing but sangalpam inside, isn't it? Whatever we imagine, our things, that comes in the form of mind, develops there. So, So, how to practice that state? Krishna is saying here in these verses, how to practice that state in this state where the thought waves stops inside, and that kind of yoga. That is the yoga what Krishna is discussing here. So, so many thought waves are developing inside. What is known as chittavritti, they develop inside. Just like the spider builds its own web. Similarly, so many thought waves are building up inside. So, in other words, Krishna's point is that Jnani's process is that every time when a chittavritti develops or a thought wave comes, immediately they are very alert about it. They are alert about this, that these thought waves are coming in me. They are not acting straight away based on the thoughts that's developing inside. They give time to look at the thought wave, what has developed inside. And that jagrada means that alertness is always there in their heart. So, it is important in order to notify this, in order to know this, that this alertness or jagrada has to be developed inside. We have to develop that alertness inside. Jagrada is nothing but shraddha. In other form of shraddha, the two words, they are different. But in reality, it is the one and the same thing, or shraddha. So, you can see here something very interesting about this activities of the mind. Just like when you are at the office working, your boss has said something to you and you didn't like it, or someone said something which you didn't want to take it, but because he's superior to you, you're willing to accept that without any questioning further. Just like if you have a disagreement with the big boss or anybody who has told you something which you don't agree with, but he tells you, but because he is telling you, you are willing to accept it without any question, isn't it? If you go home and your wife or children say something, then you are willing to give back straight away, control it, isn't it? So why is that the difference? Why that difference happens in us? What is the reason behind it? Krishna is saying here that that in that particular instance, when the anger came, you are willing to keep it under check. You are willing to keep it under check. Because how was it possible for you to control that? Because you have a concept inside that in that front of that person, I should not protest. There is a firm conviction inside. In front of that person, I will not protest. Whereas, when you go home and you have a problem with somebody else, you are willing to let loose everything without any control. So this difference, Krishna says here, then if you have developed this towards others, towards everyone in this world, that whoever comes in front of you, if you accept that he is Krishna's devotee, then you will not shout at him or you will not have any problems with that person. That's the only way. Krishna is telling us how to develop this understanding of Krishna's presence in everyone. If you see that everyone who is coming in front of you is a devotee or Krishna's devotee, and if you develop that bhavam inside, then there is no possibility of creating that, developing that thought inside. As soon as you see that person separate, not as a devotee or any relationship with Krishna, individually in a separate level, then immediately we lose control. So, in satsangam, what happens is that you have developed a certain degree of purity inside, a certain degree of purity inside. But when we start experiencing this Bhagavad Bhavam means this remembrance of Krishna's presence in other living entities, then you will not be able to get annoyed with them, or you will have no anger towards others at that stage. Automatically, we will stop our anger exactly like the way we stopped in the office or with a superior authority. So that's the only way that this can come under control. That's why Krishna is saying there that it is not that it's not impossible. Krishna says it's possible. What is required is that there in the office, because it was a higher authority, you had that concept in your mind that he is a higher person. I should not become angry with that person or react in a bad way towards him. Because that concept was strong in your head, You are able to tolerate that and able to accept it. In the same way, Krishna says, if other living entities also, if you feel that everyone is a Krishna's devotee, even if he is may or may not be, but if you see it like that, then naturally this situation will change. Therefore, this has to be trained up. This has to be trained up inside. So every time when a thought wave develops inside, which is not favorable for Krishna consciousness or all the thought waves, in other words, we have to learn to stay away from the thought wave and look at that thought, how it is coming in. And similarly, while chanting the holy name also, and we have to look at these thoughts as though it's a separate entity, as though it is a separate entity. Just like when I look at this mic, I see it as a separate entity. In the same way, when the thoughts are coming in, also we have to see those thoughts as a separate entity. Not immediately gets absorbed in the thought and gets lost in that thought. This is the process of jnanam. That as much as and when a thought wave comes inside, immediately if you are able to move away from the thought wave and look at that thought, Krishna is saying that in due course of time, this has to become a practice inside. A practice inside. So at that stage, Krishna says that as much as we are seeing so many objects in this world, so many objects we see in this world, and we do not, without any reaction with that particular object, we are able to handle our life in this world. In the same way, with the thoughts also, if we have developed that attitude, Krishna says it will develop the yoga bhavam. The bhavam of this yogi state will develop inside. So, so just like if you feel like, if you felt like beating up someone, straight away, if you are able to look at that thought, when the thought comes in, that you want to beat up somebody, then immediately that thought wave will come under control. Thought wave will come under control. Therefore, Krishna says here, so wherever we feel that attachment, wherever we feel that attachment, asakti, as it is referred to, therefore, every time when that happens, immediately we should be able to move away from that and look at that wave that has happened. Krishna is concerned, it is possible to practice this. This experience of looking at one's own mind and how these thoughts are developing inside, how they could be looked at from separately, that is possible. And that is what all the jnanis do, or all the yogis do, also do the same thing. And this thought wave, every time when a wave develops inside or emotions develops inside, able to stay away from that and look at it, and that is known as Almavijaram. That is what is called analysis of the soul. Nothing else than that. You are not trying to understand what is the soul now. What we are trying to do is that when these thoughts are developing inside, able to move away from the thought and looking at the thought and wondering for whom this thought has developed. And in that way, you will not identify with the thought, rather you will identify with yourself or the soul. So this is the practical way Krishna is saying here, to move away from the influence of the mind. As far as spiritual life is concerned, mind has not much of a help at any stage. Mind is not much of a help at any stage. Therefore he says here, every time when a thought develops like that, immediately from inside, the question should come up, who is developing these thoughts? Krishna say, uses a word here, yogam alpa vishuddhaye, isn't it? in the verses, next verse, so somewhere Krishna says, yogam alpa vishuddhaye. Alpa vishuddhi means that yunjana yunjan evam sadatmanam yogi niyadamanasa. Shandim Nirvana Paramam Arsamstam Shandi Gacchati. Krishna is concerned that this Atma Vishuddhi or purification inside happens through this process. Through this process of questioning every time when the thoughts are developing inside. Yogam Atma Vishuddhi. So, even while chanting the holy name or doing while in meditation, all these time, if the thoughts are disturbing continuously, constantly thoughts are flowing in, we have to put some check on that. Otherwise, it will go completely lost in that process. The thoughts will take away. And as much as you ask this question, for whom this thoughts are developing, immediately the answer will come from inside. The false ego will answer from inside, it's happening to me. The false ego will answer from inside. So, many times in the past, in the history also, this questioning process has been very, very prominent. For example, many initial seekers who have come to spiritual life first time, they will have many, many questions, isn't it? They come with loads of questions. And the kind of questions that they ask, normally when they come to spiritual life, first thing will be, the questions they are likely to ask is, can I change this world? Can this world conditions can be made better? Can the conditions of this world can be made better? Or sometimes they will ask, can the East and the West cooperate and work together in this world? Or how can the world be peaceful when there is a lot of wars going on? People will ask this question. The whole world is full of fighting going on. How to create some peace in this world? And how to improve the conditions of this world? These are all standard questions for all people, all times, when they start their spiritual life, isn't it? Because after experiencing the miseries of the material world, we start asking these questions. What should I do with this world? There's nothing we can do, because actually we understand like this, that it's our duty. Immediately the thought comes in that it's my duty to change this world. Somehow or the other, can I change this world? Or can I do something that there is some peace in this world? That's why so many organizations have come out from this, isn't it? To create peace in this world. So all these questions are coming there all the time. So one person came up and asked this question to a Mahatma who was in a highly realized state. And his answer to him was like this. He said that you have asked these questions, so many questions. What was the question? First question was that can I improve these conditions of the world? Second question was, is it possible for me to help develop a rapport between the East and the West? And the third thing was, how can I improve the conditions of this world and bring some peace to it? So in all these questions, what you have asked me, he said, in all these questions, what you have raised now, you are asking about me, about I, whether I can do anything or can I find some peace or can I do something about it. This question you are raised in this. Please find out who that I is first, instead of asking all these questions. But the person who asked the question could not understand that. He was saying, what is this answer? That he is asking this question, that can I improve the conditions of this world? Can I bring some peace to this world? Can I stop all this quarrel here? All these kind of questions he was asking. So this Mahatma told him, you have put in every question I and me and my influence and all that. That who is that me or who is that I you are talking about? Who is that person we are talking about? So in all these questions, when this question was raised, the questioner could not answer that question. The questioner could not answer that question. Only then the questioner, the person who was asking the question, realized after a while the foolishness of asking these questions. The foolishness of asking the questions. Without knowing who is asking the question, we are firing questions all the time. Without knowing who is asking the question, we are firing these questions. Krishna's point is, as soon as you understand the person who is asking this question, all questions goes away. There is no more questions after that. Question and answer is nothing but coming from the mind. If you give importance to the mind, you will whole lifetime will be asking questions and getting answers. And still at the end, you will be nowhere. Spiritually advanced, who have some higher insight into spiritual life, they never ask questions. Questions is not the way to go in that direction. That is not the way to find the solution to the problem. Our problem is that we have this thing called mind inside, and the whole spiritual process is stopping the activities of this mind. Yoga, Chitta Vritti Nirodha, Patanjali says in the Yoga Shastram, that stopping this chitta vritti or the thought waves coming in and disturbing us is our prime business. Instead, if you allow that as a tool to realize the self, that's not going to work. That's not going to help. Therefore, it is said that deliberately that the process is that questions, when they come, immediately you have to ask, immediately you have to stay away from that doubt. The question means it's a doubt inside, and move away from the doubt and come to this state of understanding where it's coming from. So so when you ask that question, for who has this question, the answer will come from there, that immediately he realizes, who am I asking this question? Am I this body? Am I this body? Or is this leg? Or is it the hand? Or is it the head? But, or is it the mind? Or is it the intelligence? When all these questions are asked, or is it all these things together? All these questions are there, isn't it? When the Mahatma asks this question, who is asking this question? The questioner has to look at himself and he'll start thinking, am I this body who is asking the question? Or is it the mind asking the question? Or is the intelligence asking the question? Or is the question coming from the from somewhere else in the body? Or is it all together asking the question? All these are the background of that questions where it's coming from. So, immediately you can see by analysis that even if you take away any part from the body, still the question remains. Still the question is coming. So you will know eventually that by analysis alone, that it is nothing but the chitavritti inside, or the mind that is generating this question from inside. So it is then that Krishna says here that immediately Krishna's talk takes us to this understanding that even when you lie down in the dream state also, even when you lie down in the dream states also, that when you have lost the body, isn't it? In the dream state, you have lost the body. Body is not operating at that time. Body, you have left it. You have gone away from the body. Although body is breathing and it is lying there, you are not identifying with the body in the dream state. And when you go into the dream state, and when you experience that all the activities of the mind there, you can understand that you are completely in the face of the mind. Out of the Jagrat, Swapnam and Sushupti state, the Swapnam state or the dream state is that what one is experiencing at that time. One is experiencing at that time. So, after a while, after going into that dream state, after some time, you stop the dreaming also and you go into the deep sleep state. Into the deep sleep state. And when you are in that Sushupti state, and when you come back from Sushupti state, again you are mentioning that you had a good sleep before, isn't it? You come back and report it like this, I had a good sleep. It is only then you realize that the happiness that you have experienced in the deep sleep state was without the presence of the body as well as the mind, isn't it? Without the presence of the body as well as the mind, you were able to experience a happiness which cannot be compared with anything else. Because in that happiness, you have realized it, that the happiness of the soul, presence of the soul, the identity of the soul. So, actually who exists there at that time, that so, it is then that the question comes that I am present now inside as a false ego, in the form of false ego, me who is present now, that is that the same person who is present in the deep sleep state also, in the Sushupti state? So, that state of deep sleep, is he present there, or am I proper individuality of the soul? Individuality of the soul. So, you can see there one point, that in the dream state, when you have identified with man, woman, boy, girl, black person, white person, or Indian, American, or a beggar, or a king, or a rich man, poor man, or businessman, so many identities what you had, all those identities also you are losing in the deep sleep. All those identities also you are losing in the deep sleep. But when you wake up immediately from the deep sleep, immediately you realize you were present there experiencing all these things. But the interesting thing here is that identity in the deep sleep is not the false ego, but it is the real self. It is the real self. How do we know that? That is what you have to analyze it in this way. That when you are in your dream state as well as in the wakened state, in the wakened state as well as in the dream state, while you are identifying with the false ego, because it's through the false ego you are operating in this world, isn't it? I am this, I am that, all identities. Even in the dream state, that identity exists. Because in that dream state also, you are dealing in the dream with other objects, you are creating, expanding another world, Manomandalam it is called, face of the mind, where you are interacting with so many people. And there again, the identification is with the false ego. But when you go into the deep sleep state, you don't seem to have any identity at that time. Have you noticed that? You are not identifying as a man or a woman, or a black person or a white person, or a rich man or a poor man, or any identity for that matter. No identity, and you experience happiness in the deep sleep. Because it is like that, when you wake up and come back to wakened state again, you have to understand that in that deep sleep, the person I, who was interacting with everything, is not the false ego, rather the real self. That is the proof of that. Because if it was false ego interacting, you would have definitely taken some identity at that point. Because you are not accepting any identity in the deep sleep state, unlike in the dream state and in the wakened state. And you are able to come out and say that you have experienced happiness in that deep sleep. That reflection of happiness which is coming from inside is coming from the experience of the soul. This is why Sushupti state is considered to be very important, for this reason only. That it is only in Sushupti state, the soul on its own is experiencing its pure happiness, unaffected by anything what going on in the body or in the mind, totally free from both and totally independent from everything. This is the beauty of the Sushupti state. That is why Sushupti state is never rejected. Mandukya Upanishad is completely centered around the Sushupti. Sushupti is the most important state that is discussed there because of this freedom from the bondage. Freedom. What we are in spiritual life, what are we looking for at the end? To free ourselves from this body, isn't it? To free ourselves from this body, free ourselves from the mind. And Krishna is giving us every day this opportunity in the deep sleep state. Experience this. And then he puts us back into this conditioned state. Into the conditioned state. So only then you can realize that, you can see that when you kept your body and the mind away from you, you had a good sleep in the night. When you left the body and the mind away, at that time you had a good sleep. So where did that happiness come at that time? You got it from yourself. That is where the happiness has come. From the soul, that happiness has been coming through in its natural way. Without that happiness we are not experiencing now. Why is that? Because of the presence of the body as well as the mind. So in other words, this body and the mind is rather a problem than a help to us in experiencing the happiness of this world. That is happiness which is we are really entitled to enjoy. That is why in the realized state, Satyam Jnanam Anandam Brahmam, or in other words, Sachidanandam also is that nature of the soul which only exists when we are released from the identity with the body and the mind. As soon as you wake up, if it is a child, he will all his worries starts, isn't it? I have to go to school today. And then the next thing is that all other if it was in the wakened state, he will curse about going to school. And if he's dreaming at night, he'll be dreaming about the examinations after that. So what has Jagrat and dream state has done to him? Except that it has brought misery for him. Nothing else. Isn't it? When you see the subtlety of spiritual life and you get into the finer side of it, you can see these things a lot more clearly. That the dream state and the wakened state are not the states what one should be experiencing. That is why every time, whenever there is a lot of problems coming in life, the first solution is what? Go to sleep. Isn't it? When you sleep, you are out of all the problems of this world. That is why sleep is always considered to be the happy state for us. We all like to have it, isn't it? So the state where you don't have the mind or you don't have the body and you experience that pure happiness of the soul. Where did that come from, that happiness? It came from the soul. Because you didn't have the body to experience any happiness. You didn't have a mind either to experience the happiness. But still, when you wake up in the morning, you are reporting, say, I had a good time. You had slept well. You felt very happy. Not only you felt happy, that you feel completely energized again for another day to deal with the body and the mind. So, that is that what it is. So, Krishna says here, and that is our pure state of consciousness, pure Krishna consciousness. So, what do we have to do in that case? In other words, if we understand this, we can see from there, in the vacant state, if you want to experience the same happiness, what you have experienced in the deep sleep state, so, you have to think, how did I get that happiness in the deep sleep? How did I get that? Because I have kept the mind and the body away. Therefore, I got that happiness in the deep sleep state. So, the same logic if you apply here now, you can see that if you live in this world, keeping the mind and the body away, you can live in this world exactly with the same happiness like in the deep sleep. That is the answer to that. That is why Krishna says here that why does Krishna talk about all these things in the Bhagavad Gita as well as in the Srimad Bhagavatam is to make us aware that liberation state is not something kept after death, that you will go there and then have it. No, you can have it here. Krishna says every day you are experiencing that happiness when you are free from the mind and the body. Why do you have to wait till you leave the body? That's Krishna's question. So, Jivan Mukta state, what they talk about in the Srimad Bhagavatam, is like that. Right here, before we leave this body, if you experience this, and in order to do that, Krishna says, keep the mind and the body. So, if you want to experience the same happiness what you have got in the deep sleep state, if you want to get the same in the vacant state, so whatever you have done in the deep sleep state, practically, that you have to do that in a practical vacant state also. Practically in the vacant state also, this must happen. What does that mean? It means that don't depend on the body, don't depend on the mind. As much as possible, if you don't identify with the body, identify with the mind, and maintain the life in this world, in that way, Krishna says, you should live. That is the answer to that question. That not to allow the mind, not to allow to identify with the mind or to identify with the body. In that way, if you live in this world, Krishna is saying that in due course of time, you will also experience the same happiness what you had in the deep sleep in the vacant state as well. So, that does not mean that you have to completely ignore the body. That's not what Krishna is saying. Not to be dependent on the body. That is what it means. Not to take shelter of the body. Taking shelter of the body means we have to accept all these miseries. Because Krishna has spoken many times, as long as we are identifying with the body, this problem will come. There is no other solution to this problem. People will get sick. They will die. They have to go. And this is exactly the science what Sudev Goswami has taught Parikshit also. This science of how to go out of the body and the mind, how to stay away from the body and the mind. So, in other words, the only thing is that one does not identify thinking that I am this body, body is not mine. I am not this body, body is not mine. And also, this ignorance in us, deep-sighted ignorance in us, that this body is meant for my enjoyment. Listen, these are the three things. I am not this body, number one. Body is not mine, number two. And who does body belongs to? Body belongs to material nature. Material nature has given us this body. Body didn't come to us asking us, can I come and join you? Never asked this question. One day, one fine morning, we came out of the womb of the mother into this world without knowing, complete ignorance. We came out. Material nature has arranged everything in such a way, everything packaged nicely and we came out. And from that day onwards, we had to accept this body. We had no choice. Similarly, when it leaves us, it doesn't ask us either. It will go its own time when it comes. Just like if you look at this tree standing there, The tree is standing there with a gross form. Similarly, we are standing here with a gross body. That's all what it is. Nothing more than that. So that is the point Krishna is making here. Don't take shelter of the body, don't take shelter of the mind either, because neither of them have anything to do with us. They have both come from, due to the presence, due to the conditioning state, means this, that body is there, the mind is there, and we have taken the shelter of that. So what does that mean, not taking shelter of the body, not taking shelter of the mind? It means, for example, sometimes we have a schedule to operate. Just like we want to chant our rounds in the morning, chant the holy name in the morning. We are saying, mind is telling you, I am not in a mood to do it. I'm not in a mood to do it. So therefore I'll chant later. Therefore I'll chant later when I'm in the mood. So whether you are in the mood or off mood, if you are able to keep both away from allowing to interfere in your spiritual life, then spiritual life will go further. That is the way to keep the mind away. So when we say keeping the mind off means that prescribed duties, whatever we have taken up as our spiritual advancement, sadhana, whatever sadhana we have taken, if you do that without allowing the mind to interfere in that, the mind start interfering, then you are in trouble. Then you cannot do it. But if you understand this, that happiness came to me due to the absence of this mind and the body in the deep sleep. In order to create that same state in the vacant state, the first thing we have to learn is to keep the body and the mind away. Otherwise, it's not possible. And the way to do that is, as soon as the mind is coming, telling us, I'm not in a mood, I am in a mood, immediately tell the mind to stay away, I have my own business to do, and go along with the business what we have to do. What is then? Chanting the holy name. So chanting Hare Krishna. That we have to do without allowing the mind to interfere. So, if you practice this for some period of time without being dependent on the mind and the body, you will see that in course of time they are not affecting you anymore. This is the secret of all the great personalities. When you notice some Mahatmas, every Mahatma for that matter, who are advanced in the spiritual life, they can work a large amount of time and uninterrupted, and they never get tired, and they carry on doing. Why? Because they kept their body and the mind not allow them to interfere in their activities. They don't allow the body and the mind to interfere in the activities. So Krishna is saying here, Shandim Nirvana Paramam. That's that word Krishna is talking about in that verse, isn't it? Shandim Nirvana Paramam. That Shandi, That Nirvana Shubham, Shandim Nirvana Paramam, Yunjan Evam Sadalpanam Yogi Niyadamanasa, Shandim Nirvana Paramam, Mat Shamstam Adigachadi, Mat Samstam Adigachadi. What does that Mat Samstam means? That you have come to the platform of the soul, in other words. There is no identified with the mind, nor identifying with the body, completely on the platform of the soul. So regularly practicing it this way, not allowing the body and the mind to interfere in your spiritual life, or for that matter, if it becomes a continuous process, in due course of time, Krishna says, by habit alone, if you do this on a regular basis, mind and body will stop interfering in our pursuit of spiritual life. And sadhana will continue, and all our activities will be totally independent of the body and the mind. That's what Krishna is saying here. Shandim Nirvana Paramam. That Shandi will come. What kind of Shandi? Nirvana Paramam, which is completely, totally liberating. Paramam, a final stage of Shandi. And Mat Samstam Abhigachadi. Mat Samstam means your platform of the soul. That is that Mat Samstam. Mat Samstam Adhigachadi. Then, here, Prabhupada translated from the devotee's language, Prabhupada is saying there, attains to the kingdom of God. That's all it is. Jnani's language, Jnani will say, he has reached the state of self-realization. Devotee will say, Krishna, he has reached the state of pure Krishna consciousness, in other words. That's all the difference. The difference is only in the wordings. In experience, there is no practically any difference. Jnanis realize the same state because they have come to the platform of the soul. Devotee will realize the same state by engaging in activities in such a way, Krishna, as he mentioned, Prabhupada mentions here, that he is abode of Krishna by cessation of material existence. By cessation of material existence. What does material existence mean? Material existence means involving the body and the mind in all the activities. Spiritual existence means keeping the body and the mind separately and acting in this world. That is spiritual existence. If you allow the body and the mind to get involved, when we say body, involving the body means you don't identify with the body and perform the activity. You do the activity, body will do the activity, knowing very well the body is doing the activity, I am not doing it. I am separate from the body. So that understanding. So Krishna says here, Yunjan evam sadatmanam yogi niyada manasa shandim nirvana paramam matsamstam adigachadi. Matsamstam adigachadi. That matsamstam, here mentioned it as in the spiritual sky, the kingdom of God. And what is that spiritual sky? Spiritual sky is nothing but our realization of the spiritual identity. That is the spiritual sky, the spiritual identity. That matsamstam adigachadi. That can happen right now here, or even at the time of death, if we do not come back again, then you have escaped into that state. So, just like when people go to the temple, they carry many things, isn't it? For example, they take with them flowers, fruits, rice, dal, sabji, atta, so many things they take to the temple. All these things you hand it over to the pujaris or whoever is in charge of the temple. They take care of all that thing and that is never returned. But there is one item there, sometimes people take there also, called camphor. You know camphor. Camphor people take it to the temple. But camphor, you give it to them, they burn it. Everything is over. There is no prasadam return, anything. Everything is burned. In the same way, this thing called a false ego inside is to be burned somewhere. Somewhere it has to be burned. So that burning of false ego, that continuous through this Dhyana Yogam, what we are discussing now, the importance of Dhyana Yogam is this, that through this Dhyanam process or yoga process or meditation process, Krishna is saying here, eventually this separate existence of the mind has to go. Kambili Chittavritti is Yogaha Chittavritti Nirodha. See, Patanjali's definition is like that. Yogaha Chittavritti Nirodha. Chittavritti, if it stops, the mind is dead. Jnanis are also saying the same thing. They are all not saying different thing. They say somehow or the other Chittavritti must stop. Devotee is saying, I will not allow the mind to interfere anymore. I am busy with Krishna. That's all the difference between the three. Yogi is saying Chittavritti, by forcefully they are stopping the Chittavritti through the Ashtanga Yoga process. Yama Niyama Asanam Pranayamam Pratyaharam Dharana Dhyanam. That way they are stopping the Chittavritti. Jnani, through analysis and reflection, through Atma Vijayaram, as I mentioned before, asking this question, where the thoughts are coming from, and arresting the thought at the very point when it's originating from, and not allowing the thoughts to interfere in his process of the analysis of the soul. So, in that way, Jnanis do. The devotee says that I'm not interested in all these things, these thoughts have nothing to do with me, I'm independent, I'm busy with Krishna. So, he goes back to the spiritual life. So, that is this, when this meditation happens in a person, whether he is a jnani or a yogi or a bhakta, it doesn't matter, when it happens to him, he becomes andarmukham. Andarmukham means his look inwards. He started looking inwards. Only then you can say that the person has started looking inwards. Not that some stray thought comes suddenly at some point and, oh, I become very inward looking now. No, it doesn't happen like that. People start thinking, isn't it? That they start thinking. Suddenly one thought has come, probably out of the million thoughts. One thought came to think about the soul for a second. And immediately the thought went after the car or the house or the mortgage or something like that. Second thought. So that is not inward looking. That is just one off chance it happened like that. But Krishna is saying here that when that becomes, Antarmagatvam happens in this way, through the process of a constant analysis of the thought waves that's coming in and able to stop them at the point when they are trying, when not, instead of identifying with them. And in that way, Krishna says it andarmukham. People become, andarmukhatvam will develop inside. And that is why in the Shruti, Shruti means Mandukya Upanishad says like this about that, na andapratyam, na bahipratyam, no ubhayada pratyam, na pratyanakhanam, na pratyam, na apratyam. It says here that prajna or consciousness of that person is andharmukhatvam is so strong in that person, na bahir prajnam, it will not go outside anymore looking for any pleasure inside. Going outward means what? The mind is there. Mind wants to go out. As soon as you give an opportunity, it wants to go out looking for some pleasure somewhere, isn't it? That's the nature of the mind. That's why it's called mind. He'll go and bring all the garbage from outside and fill it in. That's what he does, the mind. That's what the mind does, isn't it? He'll go and collect every garbage possible and bring it in. And we'll say, welcome, welcome, come in. Every garbage you have brought, it's very nice. It's inside. And you filled all inside with all the rubbish what it has brought. Na prajna na prajna adrishtam avyavaharyam avyavaharyam agra amalakshanam achindya bhayam padesha ekatma pratyayasaram prapajnopasamam ajnatam. Krishna says here that in the Upanishad says here that this realization when it happens to the individual, when it is individual, when it experiences this, he will notice that the change what is happening inside is that prapancha upashamam. World doesn't exist after that for him. Why? Because internally he has gone that far that this external world has no influence on him anymore. Prapancha upashamam. Upashamam means it comes to a total stop. The outside world comes to a total stop. So, and that is what Krishna mentions here in this verse. And in the same thing, Krishna puts it here as Shandim Nirvana Paramam Mat Samstam Adigachati. That is the nature of that. Shandim Nirvana Paramam Mat Samstam Adigachati. So, in strictly speaking, this Shandi, that is Krishna's nature. Krishna's nature is that Shandi. What you experience at that time, that Shandi, is Krishna's presence inside. Is Krishna's because Shandi, if you remember, that's why Bhagavatam, if you study carefully, you will see there, Krishna says, Tataparam Shandi Mubaydi Sakshal. If you remember, that Kavi Maharshi said this. In the Niminavayogi discussions, Kavi Maharshi says here, Tataparam Shandi Mubaydi Sakshal. At the end of 12 verses, the last line he says, Tadaparam Shandi Mubaydi Sarsha. That Shandi, that peace, what we experience inside at that time, is actually Krishna Swarupam. Krishna's presence, you experience it that way. That's the point. Krishna also says in the Bhagavad Gita, isn't it? Bhoktaram Yajnatapasam Sarvaloka Maheshwaram Sukhrudam Sarvabhudanam Yatvamam Shandi Mruchadi. Why does he say like that? Krishna didn't say, you will come back to me. That's not what Krishna is saying there. Krishna is saying there that Bhoktaram Yajnatapasam, that Sarvaloka Maheshwaram, that you realize that when you have practiced this yoga process, Krishna says in that chapter, isn't it? Third chapter, I think. Bhoktaram Yajnatapasam. Once we understand that, Krishna is the enjoyer of all the fruits of all the activities. He is the Bhokta, he is the enjoyer. Sarvaloka Maheshwaram, he is the controller of the whole creation. And Sukhrudam Sarvabhudanam. In other words, you have recognized or you have realized that person inside, he is the friend of all the living entities. All the living entity. In the sense that he is closer to us than anybody else in this world. Isn't it? He is closest to us than anyone else. Krishna is saying, when once you have realized that, Sukhrudam Sarvabhudanam, once you have realized that, Nyatvamam, he understands, Krishna says, Shandi Mruchadi, Shandi will come to him. That Shandi is Krishna. That Shandi is, this is what self-realization means. We have misunderstood many things from Bhagavad Gita also. We are thinking that, Krishna will meet me only in Goloka, nowhere else. After we finish all our business here, we'll go and see him. There he'll be waiting for us there. No, that is not what Bhagavad Gita is saying. At least Bhagavad Gita is telling us that here itself right now, who is present within the heart. Otherwise all these verses have no meaning, isn't it? If it is all going there and meeting him there, these verses have no meaning. Bhoktaram Yajnatapasam Sarvaloka Maheshwaram Suhrudam Sarvabhudanam Yatvamam Shandi Mruchadi. What that Shandi is? Shandi is Krishna Swarupam. Krishna is, Krishna's manifestation inside is that Shandi. Because Shandi is only with the soul. Shandi is not, is the mind. Mind is not a Shandi state. Mind is not a shanti state. Mind is always getting excited with some emotions and it comes, it goes. But shanti is not a state like that. Shanti is a perfectional state. Therefore, shanti is spoken about in the Bhagavatam. In many, many places you will see the word referred to at that point is shanti, not manas or mind or anything else is given any importance. So, once that happens, in order that once that shanti to develop inside, Krishna is saying here that the body should be prepared for that. The body should be prepared for that. And in order to do that, Krishna says how to prepare for the body for experiencing that shanti inside, how to prepare this body, two practical suggestions Krishna is talking about. That is the next verse. Verse 16. Nati asnast asnast asnadastu yogosti na jaikandam anasnatam na chadi swapna shilasya jagrato naiva jarjunam nati asnadastu do yogosti na jaikandam anasnata na chaiti swapna shilasya jagrato naiva charjunam na tyasnadastu yogosti na jaikandam anasnata na chaiti swapna shilasya jagrato naiva charjunam. Translation: there is no possibility of one becoming a yogi, O Arjuna, if one eats too much or eats too little, sleeps too much or does not sleep enough. Na tyasnadasti yogosti na jagandam anasnada na chandi na chadi swapna shilasya jagrato naiva charjunam. Something very important from the practical way of living in this world in order to practice the yoga system. That's what Krishna is talking about here. Krishna is saying here that in order that the shanti should stay inside, and some adjustments are necessary in the body. One who does not have that, he cannot have yoga at all. Someone who eats a lot at 9, 10 o'clock in the night and sleeps and starts snoring because he has eaten so much, he snores heavily at night and he has gone to bed also very late. And if you tell him that you can be a yogi at 4 o'clock in the morning, that's not going to happen, is it? It will not happen. So it's not possible. What will happen is the food that has gone inside, it will lie there without getting digested. And when it dies like that, it will stay in that situation that he cannot practice yoga state. Yoga siddhi will not happen to him. So, Buddha, Lord Buddha instructs his disciples on this very strongly, especially to his sannyasi disciples. He says to them, not eat anything after midday. Up to lunchtime, you have one big meal if you want, but after that, no eating at all in the night. Why? Because it will affect the yoga state. You cannot have all together. You cannot enjoy material life as well as the spiritual life as well. Together won't go. So at some point in time, Krishna says here, in order to experience this yoga state, because the idea is to keep the body in a healthy state all the time and not allow the body to take control of us. So because if you allow the everyone enjoys some bodily happiness, isn't it? Either in some way, in some other sense, enjoyment is for that. So when that opportunity is denied, we protest straight away. We think that something has been denied to us. It's my right in this world to enjoy. But that says, Krishna says, that's okay. But if you want to make progress on the path of yoga system, Krishna is insisting this, that the words he have used, if you can look there, you will see, Krishna says there, that the Nati asnadastu yogosti. Asnada means one who eats. So, one who eat so. And na chaigandam anasnada, or one who anasnada, abstaining from eating. One who abstains from eating, he cannot do it, Krishna says. Similarly, one who is eating a lot also cannot do it. Both cannot do it. That's why he says very clearly there, na tyashnadastu yogosti na chaigandam anasnada. Now, when we read these verses, people will think, how could Krishna could not have been a little bit more specific about it, telling us, giving us a vegetarian diet and the diet for, you know, just like these body people, dietitians tell you, you can have one banana in the morning or one orange in the morning, 100 gram cereal and things like that. Krishna could have mentioned something like that. But Krishna's point is, everybody's body is different. Everyone's body is different. What Krishna is saying there is that whatever body one has, one should be careful what he is eating. And what he is eating should be controlled with this principle behind it. How much he consuming quantity, that is up to the individual to decide. That is what Krishna says here, that in order to make it practical, one should control the food intake. Food intake is a big thing in spiritual life, the food. You can see Sri Narada Maharshi says in the Chandakya Upanishad that also, Sanat Kumara Maharshi says to him, Ahara Shuddhau Sattva Shuddhi. Aharam is the first thing that controls our existence purity. Purity of our existence is controlled by the food. Some Acharya says that is only with reference to food. Other Acharyas are saying it's only to the, not only to the food, all the thing that you are intaking through different senses, that also has to come under control. Sometimes you may think, I'm having a good sattvic food, but everything else, I watch all the garbage on the television, I'll go for movies, I'll enjoy football matches, I do every other nonsense in this world, but my food is very pure. That won't work. Why? Because actually we are damaging the body when we allow them to go in an uncontrolled way, to be controlled by the senses and the sense enjoyment. So that's why Krishna says here that every time when it is done, if you do not allow the food to digest in there, in the body, they will create problems within the body. Not only in the stomach, it will affect the whole body. All problems in the body begins from here, from the stomach. It starts from there. So if the food gets completely digested, in the morning when you wake up, you will feel very fresh. You'll feel very fresh if the food is digested. If the food is not digested, what will happen is, it will get blocks in different places, and the flow of prana inside, the life air, the flow of prana is blocked inside. The flow of prana becomes very difficult. And this is from the yoga point of view, from the yoga's position. They are saying that, and that develops into vyadhi, some kind of diseases. So it will appear in that form. When the prana cannot flow very freely inside, the cell starts dying away. The cells will die. When the cells die, it is then that the bacteria comes in. You see, the modern science is saying, bacteria comes and then it affected us. Ayurvedam and the Yoga Shastram is saying the other way. It says the cells died and therefore the bacteria have come. If you look at logically, Krishna would have created a body in such a way to live in a happy state. Not that it can get infected by the others. In the medical system, they say that the body gets infected by the bacteria, affects us, and then we suffer the disease, suffer the illness. Ayurvedam is saying to us, it's not that way it happens. When the flow of prana is blocked and the body and the cells start dying, that invites the bacteria to come and it destroys the body. And then we get serious illnesses after that. So there is a change in that understanding also. That also is interesting to note. So Krishna says here that regulating one's own body as far as eating is concerned is one's own business. There Krishna has given us a free choice. Whatever we get, whatever we think is good for our health or our body, and not to create this indigestion and create a state where the prana can flow freely and able to wake up in the morning fresh. That food one should take it. And after saying this, Krishna says here that main thing is that to avoid eating at night. So oneself has to regulate one's own body. So you can't give this advice to everyone the same way. So that one alone, each individual has to decide himself. So whatever, by doing whatever way, one can stay always in the healthy state with full of energy and enthusiasm, that one has to develop the food habits in that way. So whichever way it is possible, that meditation will develop inside. Bhagavad Dhyanam. Dhyanam should happen inside. Otherwise, whatever causing the problem through tamogunam, that not allowing us to develop that meditative mood inside, or unable to reflect on the spiritual side of life, but due to very strong influence of tamogunam, it can block the whole thing. Tamogunam can block the whole thing. That is what Krishna says here. Na atyant asnata. Asnata means na asnadastu yogosti na jaigandam anasnata. Krishna says both are not favorable for spiritual life. One who is eating a lot and one who doesn't. Because if you don't eat, also it causes problem inside. Pranam, actually, when we eat the food, if you remember Bhagavad Gita, we discussed this earlier when we talked about 18th chapter. What happens? The food gets converted in the liquid and the solid food get converted into different forms in the body, isn't it? And so therefore, and it is from the food that the mind also comes. Mind also comes from the food. Annamayam, pranamayam, manomayam. So pranan and pranamayam, manomayam is originally from annamayam, isn't it? Annam is a food, goes in. From annamayam comes pranamayam and manomayam. Bodies comes from that. So if you completely stop annamayam, annam going inside, pranan and mind will suffer. Therefore, pranamayam and manomayam becomes dies. And that is why it said not to stop eating. On the other hand, Krishna says if you become too much into the annamayam stage, into the bodily life or to the bodily satisfaction, uncontrolled eating, that will disturb the pranamayam and manomayam state also. It will disturb the mind, it will disturb the pranam's flow also. So we have to remember, from the yoga sutram you can understand this, that annamayam, pranamayam, manomayam, vijnanamayam, anandamayam, the five koshams or five sheaths around the soul. So out of that, the most exterior one is the annamayam. All other four are internal ones. Pranamayam, manomayam is more and more you go inward, it becomes vijnanamayam and eventually anandamayam, which is the nature of the soul. But if the annamayam is disturbed, all other are meant to get disturbed. They are not going to stay in the proper state. Till we realize the anandamayam inside, anandamayo abhyasa it says, anandamayam, till we reach that state and experience that, all the other four should be kept in a proper rhythm. Proper rhythm. If you disturb the rhythm of all the other four, the interior one, you will not get there. This is the yoga process. Yoga process is talking about that. So Krishna also says here the same thing. Na atyasnadasti yogosti na jaigandam anasnata. Na chasti na chadi swapna shilasya jagrado naiva charjana. So the first two lines in that verse, Krishna talked about the eating habits. Now, next one, Krishna says, na jadi swapna shilasya jagrado naiva arjuna. What does that mean? Let's look at that also. So, if you don't eat, you cannot have yoga practice. If you starve, also you cannot have yoga practices. So, why is that? Because if you don't eat, then also you will meditate on the body. If you eat too much, also you will meditate on the body. So if you, and then he says, yukta swapnava bhodasya, he says, isn't it? That he says here, na jadi swapna shilasya. Swapna shilasya means that if you eat a lot, then you will sleep a lot, isn't it? You will actually sleep a lot. And if you sleep after eating a lot, you will see a lot of dreams as well. That's also an after effect of the, these are all in the subtle level, what Krishna is saying here. So how many hours one should sleep? That is always a question, isn't it? We do not know. Actually, you cannot keep it with a timepiece, alarm, and say, oh, I've set the alarm for 4 o'clock. That's how much I want to sleep. So, while practicing the yogam, Krishna is saying here then it is not how many hours you are sleeping, but when you are woken up, are you in the real waken state? Are you awake really? But some people, they sleep throughout the night, and in the daytime also they are half asleep. That state is not good, because then you can't have any realization from that and practice of any spiritual life. So sometimes devotees ask like this, I'm feeling very sleepy, I got up very early in the morning, so I had to sleep. Yes, if you are feeling sleepy, you should sleep. That's the only answer to that. But sometime you will get up one day after sleeping 10 hours, say 12 hours. So at least when you wake up, if you are fresh and able to engage in some spiritual activity, then it's okay. But then as soon as you start chanting, you say, I'm feeling sleepy. Okay, sleep again then. As much as you want, you sleep. But at some point, you cannot stay in that sleepy mode all the time, sleeping mode. One day you will wake up. Nature will wake you up at the end, isn't it? So when you wake up, at least at that point, come to the practice Krishna is saying here. So whatever time is available for yoga practices, one should utilize that time in the Jagrat state. It is no point you're feeling fully sleepy, you're feeling so sleepy, and you're trying to chant Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, with all cursing Krishna, cursing the holy name, cursing everyone in the world, cursing the spiritual master, cursing the devotees. What use is there? That is not spiritual life. That's what happens in many instances, isn't it? It ends up like that. So that's not what Krishna is saying here. Krishna is saying here, natatishnadasti yogasti. No, eating regulate that. Regulate the sleeping as well. That regulation is important. It's regulated life that helps for spiritual life. So so what will happen is that if one does not sleep in the proper way, there's a way to sleep also. It's amazing, isn't it? Krishna is telling us how to eat first, and now he's telling us how to sleep also. While sleeping in this world, Krishna says, when you wake up from the sleep, you should be fresh. You should feel fresh. Otherwise, that sleep wasn't good enough. For example, some people wake up in the morning, then they will not get out of the bed. They will lie there and they'll enjoy some dreams at night. That Krishna doesn't accept that. Yukta sopnava bhodasya. Krishna says here very clearly that sopnam is not a state, good state for spiritual life. That's why na chadi sopna shilasya. Sopna shilam, that means his habit of dreaming, one must get out of. One must get out of. In other words, after you had enough sleep, if you feel you're fresh enough, you should get out of the bed. Not lie there, ah, it's winter time now, two quilts on the top, and the water is not hot for bathing, so make it a little later. I have to catch the train at 10 o'clock, so 9 o'clock, so I'll be ready by 9:30. In that way. All this is normal life. In karmi life, that's what we do, isn't it? Just to get ready for the work, so the boss doesn't give you trouble. But otherwise, but for yoga, Krishna is saying here, that nachadi swapna shilasya. It says nachadi swapna shilasya. Swapna shilam has to be given up. That has to be given up. Not because if you allow the swapna shilam means what? You are allowing the mind to enter into your life. You are allowing the mind to get in. Once it starts, that swapna shilam comes, that dreaming state comes in. That means you are in the control of the mind. But you can't avoid it while you are sleeping. The swapnam will come. But as soon as you wake up in the morning, if you had enough sleep and woken up, and then again to think that, dream state was very nice, let me dream all those things I dreamt in the night, and that will be my happiness for the day. And that way, if you surrender to the mind, Krishna says, that's no good. Nachadi swapna shilasya. Swapna shilam, one must come out of that. So as soon as the sleep is over, the sleep has gone away, then we should not lie down in the bed. We should get up immediately. In other words, as much as possible, never allow the mind to act independently. Not allow the mind to act independently. Because we should have the control to think only when we want, we should use the mind. We should be able to pull the mind when we need. Only at that point, we should be... Because in the vyavaharam, you need the mind. That also you have to remember. That does not mean that, I'm a yogi from now on, I won't bother anything what's going on in this world. You can't live like that. But Krishna is saying here that the activity should be such that you should be able to call the mind for the service when you need him. That means for engaging in the transactions of this world, for vyavaharam. You need the mind only for that purpose. You don't need the mind for your spiritual self-realization. There you don't need the mind. You need the mind for your transactions of this world. That is why, so in other words, instead of that, from every time a thought develops inside, and if you have to run after that, that state should never happen. That state should never happen. That means that you are completely on the platform of the mind. Completely on the platform of the mind. If every time a thought comes in, immediately you have forgotten everything, go after that thought. To fulfill that thought, whatever that is created in us, if you go and take shelter of that thought, thinking that, that means you have fallen in, victimized by the mind. So, and training up the mind in this way, Krishna says, na jati swapna shilasya. So, such people who do not sleep at all, and without any sleep, such people, or those who are under the influence of the mind, Krishna says, both of them will never be able to realize the self. Will never be able to realize the self. So, whatever that is necessary for the body, according to that, you have to sleep. Whatever food that is necessary, one has to eat. Whether it is one time, two times, three times, four times, depending on the... That's why that statement, that one who eats once is a yogi. Once who eats once is a yogi. One who eats twice is a bogi. And one who eats thrice is a rogi. And one who eats four times is a drohi. So yogi, bogi, drohi, rogi and drohi, all this is come from the food only. Food will decide whether one. But then again, this is not, you should not make it as a concept in life. In the sense, some people have the habit, they won't eat large quantity. They will eat very little each time. They may eat four or five times in a day, but they will eat small quantity. Never to fill the belly. Enough to keep the energy flowing in the body. There are other people who eat 10 kilos of rice in one lot. And they, I am a yogi, yes, I have eaten only once. That is also not yogam. All this has to be understood in that way. Otherwise, if we start making, oh, this is the normal tendency I'm saying, that, oh, you should only eat once. All right, I'll have a feast at midday. From morning to lunchtime, I'm cooking for my midday meal. 10, 12 preparations and at a big feast. And then say, I'm a yogi, I've eaten only once today. Some people, they eat only once. They can't eat for a few days after that because they have eaten so much in that time. So these are to be understood that way. These verses is to be understood in this way. It is not a law that's been given to us. The principle we have to understand, what actually happens if you eat, and accordingly controlling one's own diet, one's own sleep, and one's own food habits, it's up to the individual to do. Krishna is only mentions that way. Otherwise, there is no common rule to anyone in these issues. So, it should not be made as a concept, in other words. So, if we do like that, this finding out this process, what Krishna has explained so far, as far as the eating and sleeping is concerned, Krishna says, if you do like that, it will change into, you have to find that way out, how to practice that. And that is the way to live in this world. That is the way to live in this world. And in order to do that, what will happen to that person if he does like that? That's what is second mentioned in the next verse. Yukta hara viharasya. Yukta cheshtasya karmasum. Yukta swapnava bodhasya. Yogo bhavadi dukkham. Yukta hara viharasya. Yukta cheshtasya karmasum. Yukta swapnava bodhasya. Yogo bhavadi dukkham. Translation. He who is temperate in his habits of eating, sleeping, working and recreation can mitigate all material pains by practicing the yoga system. By practicing this yoga system. Now, yuktahara viharasya yukta cheshtasya karmasu yukta swapnava bodhasya yogo bhavati dukkha. Krishna uses the word yukta all the time, isn't it? We talked about this yukta word before also in the Bhagavad Gita. Krishna says here that how much one should eat. Krishna uses two words there. If you remember, look at that way. Yukta ahara viharasya. Aharam and viharam. What does it mean? Ahara means food. Vihara means entertainment, isn't it? Entertainment is not banned completely. Some people, they are very funny. Funny in the sense that they'll say, I'm performing some sadhana, 16 rounds or 32 rounds. After that, they will sit the whole day in a very grave mood. They can't smile, they can't talk to anybody, because they thought that because I'm performing this sadhana, I can't smile, I can't talk to anybody. They get into very, very, very depressing mood. As soon as you see that person, you walk away from there. That also happens. That is why Krishna says, makes it very clear to us, yukta ahara viharasya. Viharam is allowed. Not that viharam is not allowed. But viharam up to what level? That is the question. That will explain that. Yukta ahara viharasya yukta cheshtasya karmasu. You look at that words, how Krishna has used them. Yukta cheshtasya karmasu. All the bodily activities is called cheshta. Cheshta means, according to vasanas inside, the body is acting. Isn't it? The body is acting based on the vasanas inside a person. That is very clear. We all do things in this world according to our vasanas. That is the important thing. Yukta cheshtasya karmasu. Even that cheshta, what is coming from vasanas inside, that should be yuktam, Krishna says. That should be yuktam. Yukta aharam, yukta viharam, yukta cheshta, karmasu. Let's understand that better. So if somebody says, oh, because I have taken to spiritual life now, I can't do anything, always in a very sorry mood or in a very grave mood, he can't smile, there will be a lot of problems in life. What can you do about it? They will come and they will go as it has come. They came, you didn't invite them, they came on its own. And they will leave you also one day. But because it has happened that you have come to spiritual life, doesn't mean that you have to become so absorbed in the... Because viharam is necessary for the body. Viharam is necessary for the body. That doesn't mean you have to run on a London Marathon every year and practice it for the whole year to run the 20 kilometers on the... In the marathon. That is another thing. But here, what Krishna is saying here is that aharam, viharam, these are all parts of the bodily's functions. To keep that body going. Therefore, one has to do that. Yukta cheshtasya karmasu. Now, here is one of the most important things, that yukta cheshtasya karmasu. Krishna has selected that word very carefully to mention this. You will understand this. That we have to work in this world, isn't it? Work has to be done. But we have to find that work what suits us so that it does not interfere in our spiritual life. Today, we don't do that. What do? We look for that work which gives the maximum money. The maximum income where I can get, that is not favorable for yukta cheshta se karmasu, because it is not based on the cheshta from inside. Cheshta is that thing what happens on the vasana. So, finding out one's own occupation in this world is a most important thing, because that brings the proper situation for oneself to practice yoga system. That is why it is spoken like that. Yukta cheshtasya karmasu. Okay, varnashrama dharmam is favorable for that. Favorable for such a life. But today, what has happened is, Krishna's point is still valid to the extent that yukta cheshtasya karmasu. If some karmam has to be performed in this world for maintenance of this body, one has to know what karmam one should act or engage in such a way that it does not interfere in his spiritual growth. In his spiritual growth. That one has to come, one has to... Whatever research one has to do, experiments has to do, he has to go through it and make that decision at some point. At some point. You can't keep blaming the job all the time. Oh, this job is like that, job is like that. That is no answer to that. But then you have to go after the job. You have to forget about what Krishna is saying. Krishna's point is that you have to live in this world, you have to engage in some activity, that's fine, to maintain the body. But that activity, yukta cheshtasya karmasu, that cheshta what is happening, that should be sufficient, that should be such activity which will which will fulfill or dry up the vasanas inside a person, that person's vasanas inside. The karmam should be based on that. That should be the principle to make that decision. So that is the central point in the success of life, in spiritual life, Krishna is talking about. So first one has to decide oneself, what is my dharma, what I want to occupy. So sometimes when in that process you may realize that you are not making a lot of money. If you start thinking that I'm making a lot of money by doing something else, and then if you are complaining that that is responsible for my spiritual, controlling my spiritual growth or stopping my spiritual growth, you can't blame. Why? Because you are not accepted Bhagavad Gita at that point. Krishna is saying here, yukta cheshtasya karmasu. If karma has to be performed, fine. Body has to perform karma. But let it be yuktam. Yukta cheshtasya. In other words, whatever vasanas are there, in order that vasanas to go away, some karma has to be engaged. And that's why we spoke about karma yogam and yajnam and so many things before. But when it is practiced in that way, Krishna says it will become yuktam. Yukta cheshtasya karmasu. So, others' opinion, you can't take it in this case. In this case, you can't take the opinion of others. Nowadays, what do? We look for a job, many jobs, opportunities. And whatever job you can find, then you ask opinion from others. Others' opinion has no value in these things. If you are concerned about the yoga system, if you're not bothered about yoga, rather you're concerned about the money, then it's another issue. But here Krishna's point is, this verse is very important in the Bhagavad Gita because this is what prepares a person for practicing spiritual life. Yuktahara viharasya yukta cheshtasya karmasu yukta sapnava bodhasya yogo bhavati dukaha. It's a famous verse. And Krishna is saying here that others' opinion you can't take it for granted. Our job, what job we have to do and how it should be done and what suits me, we have to find out ourselves in that process. And the important point is always, and you have to put a circle around that. Not allow that job to interfere anymore in life about your spiritual growth. Only then, because somewhere you have to devote for spiritual life. We'll come to that in the next verse. Krishna is very straightforward about that. There is no point complaining about the job, complaining about family, complaining about all other problems on this world. That is causing my spiritual life. Spiritual life is not at the cost of anything else. So Krishna says here that important point is a job we have to do, or a work, or business, whatever it is, we have to do. And we have to get what is needed, and whatever we have got, to be satisfied with that in life. That is the basic principle, to be satisfied with that. So, and in that way, Krishna says, that is why controlling that, yukta cheshtasya karmasu, means that. Controlling that in such a way, that it is the job is favorable for extinguishing the vasanas inside and able to develop on the spiritual path. This decision has to be made at some point. So if we do like that, Krishna says, after executing that work in that way, there should be sufficient time for japam, for chanting the holy name, for meditation, for Srimad Bhagavatam and other things. We have to find some time for that. So if we do like that, Krishna says that that will become turn into meditation. At that time, the happiness of the soul will come in a natural way. Because we have disturbed our mind with so many thoughts about our work, about our other things in this world, mind has no, the chitavritti is increased to such high levels inside, it is impossible for us to understand. Even when we thought, want to read Bhagavad Gita, we can't read Bhagavad Gita. That's how it happens. Most of the time, this happens. So, Krishna's point is, that you will find time and at the same time and that shanti or peace will come to that person. On the other hand, if you increase the transactions of this world and absorb in all kinds of activities, Krishna says that our viharam or this execution of the work alone, it will become a sort of a disease. It will become a sort of disease. You can observe that in some people, they have taken work so seriously that if they don't do that work, they can't sleep. They can't get, there's no peace inside. There's no, that stage can happen to people many times. It happens. Because why? They are completely overpowered by the karma they are engaged in. So that is what that point Krishna is saying here. So in that process, what will happen is, whatever time you are devoting to spiritual life, that spiritual life will not go very far. So that is why Yukta Cheshtasya. So Karma Mandalam, where one is operating, we have to get there and should be under what Krishna calls it as Yukta Cheshtasya. If in that case there will be peace and there will be shanti inside. whether it is a man or a woman, they all have to do this in the process of work. Whether they are small, grown up, adults, whatever, doesn't matter. So there are the four things Krishna mentioned here in this verse now to preparing for yoga. What is that? First is eating, and then the second one is sleeping, and third one is our work in this world, and the fourth one is the entertainment, whatever necessary to maintain this. So these four things, yukta aharam, viharam, cheshtasya karmasu, yukta sopnavabhodasya, means the sleep, and eating, sleeping, entertainment, and the work, four things. If these four are yuktam, Krishna calls it as yuktam state, then for him it is possible to practice yoga system. It is possible to practice yoga system. Otherwise, it is not going to happen. You can chant the whole life, 64 rounds, found 8 hours in the night, and whole day you can yukta sapnava bhodasya, yukta cheshtasya karmasu. If it's not there, nothing will happen at the end. We have all misunderstanding, because when we don't take Bhagavad Gita completely, we pick and choose what suits us, then there will be problems. That's why Krishna says here that this control of the body is necessary, and the mind necessary for dhyanam, for meditation. Otherwise meditation won't happen. Meditation is that one of the top processes, isn't it? When you look at Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam, you can see at what stage that meditation happens. Meditation happens at a stage, gopis had meditation all the time. They were in meditation, remembering Krishna all the time. It has caught them. Why did it catch them? Because they lived that life. They were satisfied with the simple life they had. They were not living in the atmosphere what we are living in today. They had sufficient time for themselves and they were satisfied. Simple living has come from this purpose only. It is only for spiritual reason simple living is practiced, not for any other reason. That simple living is necessary for spiritual advancement. If we complicate our life, nowadays the philosophy is that I'm doing for Krishna so I can have everything in this world and engage everything in all. But that does not work like that. This meditation, what Krishna is saying here, will only happen if the chitavritti stops inside. Chitavritti will only stop if aharam, viharam, sapnashilam goes away, and also yuktam, yukta ahara vihara cheshta. Cheshta se karmasu. Cheshta also comes under control. So aharam, viharam, cheshta and sopnavabhodam or sleeping habits all has to change for yoga practice. Krishna, that's what is making clear. So in other words, in order to, just like, you know, when you have this sitar or a veena or one of the musical instruments, the strings are eventually, first they are brought into a certain level, isn't it? You adjust the tension of the strings in such a way that they are, you bring that thalam into a particular thalam in, so that they can, that the proper rhythm is obtained. So if you do like that and you play the music, after that it will work. All the musicians do that, isn't it? They tune it first. Tuning it's called, isn't it? What is that tuning? Tuning means they know that the strings has to be brought into a certain tension, and that will bring that and the noise, the sound, what they expect from that to happen. So similarly, Krishna is saying to us, this body, this mind, this the intelligence, everything should be kept in a certain tuning. A tuning is necessary for the body, necessary for the mind also. So if that tuning is done, the body is ready for spiritual life. The whole process will work. Otherwise it cannot work. So, similarly, the body, the mind, intelligence, all of them has to stay in that particular tuned state. So, the body, food affects the body, therefore regulation is necessary. And it affects the mind and the sleep as well. So Krishna says here, there is control on the karmam, karmam in one's activity and also in viharam, or in other words is entertainment. So Krishna says here, if you are prepared for this, to do all these things, then all your spiritual life, deity worship, chanting the holy name, everything will work. Will have some benefit from that. If you don't do that, Krishna says here that nobody in this world, neither a Mahatma nor a yogi, even Krishna himself, or even if you go to all the 330 million demigods and ask them to help, they also can't help. Nobody can help us. Because that is the state, what Krishna is saying here. That even if you are not worshipping the 330 million demigods, you find another new one to worship, you can worship them also, they also can't help. That is the point. So this decision we have to make ourselves. This decision we have to make ourselves. Nobody else can make it for us. From the very beginning of Bhagavad Gita, Krishna is openly telling us this. Isn't it? Vyavasayalpiya buddhi egeha kurunandana. There is a verse in the second chapter. If you look at that. What did he say? He says, that vyavasayalpiya buddhi, that decision you have to make. That is called vyavasayalpiya buddhi. Vyavasayalpiya buddhi egeha kurunandana. He says there. Isn't it? So, even if you have studied Bhagavad Gita or studied Srimad Bhagavatam, everything you have understood and you are doing the deity worship or you are chanting the holy name and all other things, none of them will come to your shelter. And that is why, like a bomb, Krishna is dropping the next verse in front of us. Yada viniyadam chittam atmanyevava tishtade nispriha sarva kamebhyo yuktamityuchyade tadam. Yada viniyadam chittam atmanyevava tishtade nispriha sarva kamebhyo yuktamityuchyade tadam. So, yada viniyadam chittam atmanyevavatishtate nispriha sarvagamebhyo yuktamityuchyade tadam. When the yogi, by practice of yoga, disciplines his mental activities and becomes situated in transcendence, devoid of all material desires, he is said to have attained yoga. Krishna says, yada viniyadam chittam atmanyevava tishtade nispriha sarvakamebhyo yukta iti uchyade tada. That is the point. So, after Krishna has spoken these things in the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, yuktahara viharasya yukta cheshtasya karmasu yukta sopnava bhodasya yogo bhavadi dukkaha. So, aharam viharam cheshta karmam. Isn't it? Cheshta karmasu, sopnava bhodasya, sleep also. Four things Krishna mentions here. And he also mentions to us, responsibility is on our head. Is on our head. Falsely, we shouldn't think that Krishna is going to do it for us. It's misunderstanding that Krishna is going to do it for us. He's not going to do it for us. He makes it very clear in the beginning of this chapter itself. You remember that verse? Uddhared Altman Altmanam Na Altmanam Avasadayed. Look at that verse. If it is the earlier verse before in this chapter, it was verse is verse 5. What did Krishna say? Uddhared Altman Altmanam Na Altmanam Avasadayed Altmanyevahi Altmano Bhandu Atmaiva Ribur Atmana. A man must elevate himself by his own mind and not degrade himself. The mind is a friend of the conditioned soul and his enemy as well. So, in the beginning of the chapter itself, Krishna has told us, Uddhared Alpana Atmanam, that one has to elevate oneself. And whether it was Arjuna or whether it was Uddhava, At the end of the day, Krishna didn't show any mercy to them. Krishna says to them also that, Uddhava, if you want to come back, I have given you the process. Follow the process and come back to me. He didn't tell him, Uddhava, I'll take you back with me. After 115 years of association with Krishna, Uddhava also wanted to go back. Take me along with you, isn't it? Tektum sam ulsahe nada swathama nayamam api. Bhagavadam says in the 7th chapter, if you look, Uddhava is saying to Krishna that Tuyobhukta Sraghanda Vasalangara Charchidehi Uchishta Bhojino Dasa Tao Maya Jayemahi. That I have won over the Maya. How? Because I have taken the prasadam and I have always been in association with you. I have always accepted Krishna's clothes Uddhava used to wear. Krishna's prasadam, whatever was left in the plate, Uddhava used to eat. So this is how Uddhava has lived and totally serving Krishna all the time. In spite of all that, and then he says to Krishna, Uddhava says to Krishna that, Tektum sam ulsahe nadha swadhama naimam abhi. Swadhama naimam abhi. When you are going, I understand now that you are going back to your abode. Please take me along with you. Uddhava says to Krishna. What did Krishna say? No, you stay back here. And I have given the process. Follow the process and come back to me. That is what Krishna says to Uddhava also. And same thing Krishna says to Arjuna also. When Krishna wanted to leave, he could have taken Arjuna with him, isn't it? But Arjuna didn't go with Krishna back. Krishna went back. Krishna left this world. Then Arjuna realized, found out Krishna has gone, comes back to Hastinapur and reports the matter to Yudhishthira Maharaj, isn't it? That you can see there, Yudhishthira was crying. Yudhishthira saw Arjuna's face. Immediately he recognized that something has happened seriously. And has Krishna left the world? This anxiety was in Yudhishthira's mind all the time. You will see in the first canto all these things in the Bhagavadam. That he says, Vanjidoham Maharaja Harina Bandhurubina. Krishna was with us as our own friend and relative all this time. Where is he gone now? Krishna is gone. Vanjidoham, he has cheated us. That's what the word Arjuna has used. He has cheated us. Arjuna was so close to Krishna. And he says, my friend has cheated me. My friend has cheated me. So, Vanjidoham Maharaja Harina Bandhurubina. Like a Bandhu. Bandhu means relative. He was with us all the time as a family member. But when he has to go, he left on his own. Not saying it. Why? The answer is there in the Bhagavad Gita. Krishna is saying, Uddhared Alpan Alpmanam. Na Alpmanam Avasadayet. There is no other way. Alpmanyo Alpmano Bandhu. For oneself, the soul alone is the friend and the enemy. If we don't take this realization from the Bhagavad Gita or Srimad Bhagavatam, and if we don't follow it, thinking that somebody somewhere is going to take us back, it is not going to happen. Simply, we should not fool ourselves. Think that somebody else is going to take us back. Nobody is going to take us back. This is all misunderstanding. Bhagavad Gita at least is not accepting that thinking. But otherwise, why all these verses? Udhredalpanalpanam. So, the thing is, Krishna saying that, mentions here, that all these things will not give us any shelter. So, no worship, no deity worship, nothing will, that you can go to astrologer, you can go to any mantravadi who gives the, you know, the witchcraft. People go to all these kinds of places for shelter, isn't it? Thinking that somebody else can help. But none of them will protect us. We ourselves have to decide what we want in life. If we want our life to be complete and life to be purposeful, to have some goal in this life, and it has to become perfect. And what we have to do is to completely taking Krishna shelter. We have to engage in satsangam, in chanting the holy name, in meditation, in reading Srimad Bhagavatam and other Vedic literature. That is the only way you can progress. But while executing this sadhana, Krishna has already spoken how one should do that, isn't it? What did he say? Janamarana mokshaya mamashrite yatandiye. Taking Krishna shelter, one should engage in sadhana. But sadhana must be performed. There is no running away from sadhana. So that is the point. Krishna is driving it. Janamarana mokshaya mamashrite yatandiye. Te brahma tadvidu krishnam adhyatmam karma jagilam. Later on in the Bhagavad Gita, you will find these words. So if it is done like that, Krishna says here that Bhagavad Gita, Upanishad, all these things, they are there to help us. They are there to help us. But if we are not willing to accept what they are telling us, then what can be done? What can be? Then, the, what is the point in blaming anyone else in this world? What's the point in blaming yourself? So, Krishna says here that our nature is that when we have a problem, when a prasnam or a problem comes in life, we run after to so many other people, here and there. And whatever they say, we will run after that. And that is why Acharyas calls them as Maya. Aho Maya Balam Vishnu, it says in the Bhagavadam, isn't it? Kashyapa Prajapati says, Aho Maya Balam Vishnu, that the solution is inside there, you won't take the solution. What is the solution? Solution is this, to come to spiritual life and take the shelter of the soul inside. That is the only solution. But instead of doing that, with all the problems, we'll go elsewhere looking for a solution. And that solution, Acharyas are calling it as Aho Maya Balam Vishnu. Vishnu's Maya's power, that what is distracting us. So that freedom to take the spiritual life, Krishna has given to everybody in this world. Is no one has been barred from practicing spiritual life. Spiritual life, practice of spiritual life, the freedom has been given to everyone as far as Krishna is concerned. So Krishna is concerned. So, hearing Srimad Bhagavatam, Krishna says here that if we want that freedom, if we want that freedom, if we want that freedom, then Krishna says come to spiritual life. Through spiritual life, experience that freedom. And if you get that freedom, you will eventually free yourself from this bondage. Bondage of what? Bondage of the body and the mind. That is real freedom, not any other freedom. That is the real freedom. But if you want money, then we have to forget about all these things. Money becomes the only criteria in life. If that is the only criteria, then you can dress up whatever dress you want to put on, you can put on and make the money in this world. That is also option is there. So Krishna's opinion is this, that aharam, viharam, cheshta, karmasu, and sapnam, shila. Sapna shila means the sleep pattern. If all this is regulated, and the body and the mind is everything bought under a certain rhythm, then you are ready for the spiritual life. In any process it is like that. Whether it is a devotee jnana margam or bhakti margam or yoga margam, everywhere we have to have some discipline in life in that way. And this is the discipline what Krishna is expecting from a yogi or a devotee also. Jnanis will say, they have what they known as sadhana chadushtayam, they call it. Jnanis call it as sadhana chadushtayam. What is the chadushtayam? Chadushtayam for them, for jnanis, four things are necessary. They insist on that. What is that? First thing is, nitya anitya vastu vivegam. What does it mean? Nitya anitya vastu vivegam means, that first thing in your own mind, inside, you must have come to this conclusion that this world is false. The world is false. It's no point in chasing in this world anything. It's all waste of time at the end. This firm conviction inside that chasing anything in this world is at the end going to end up in frustration and failure. It is going to happen. So everybody knows that. Because even if you succeed your whole life, at the end they will leave you. You have to leave them. So it was all it's not a profitable business at the end. So that's why Krishna say, they say, Jnani says this, that first thing is nityam anityam vastu vivegam. That discrimination between temporary thing and the permanent thing. That's the first one. Then the second one they say, iha amutra bhala bhoga viragam. That complete disgusted with the material sense enjoyment. Total disgust with the material sense enjoyment. What they say is that they give a little bit more in a powerful way. They tell us these things. They say, just like the hog who eats the stool. You will see in so many places, isn't it? Hogs which eats the stool. If you see the stool of the hog while you are having food, how you will feel inside? How you will feel so disgusted with everything? That kind of disgusted mood, if you get with sense gratification in this world, then jnanis are saying you are ready for spiritual life. If you are that much disgusted with the sense enjoyment in this world, then you are ready for spiritual life. So, iha amutra bhala bhoga viragam. Then, shama damadi shal sambati. Shamam damam tidiksha uparadi shraddha samadhanam. Six things which one should have cultivated to the maximum. Shamam, control of the mind, control of the senses. Tolerance to everything in this world. No matter what goes on in this world, you are not concerned. You are willing to tolerate it. Tidiksha. Uparadi, able to be fixed on the platform of the spiritual life, on the soul. Shraddha, so serious about everything as far as the realization is concerned. Uparishraddha and Samadhanam, and that continuous application of that into the practice life. So, Shamadamadi Shal Sambhati, the six things. And higher than all these three, Jnanis are saying, if you have no Mumukshatvam, Mumukshatvam means intense desire to escape from this world. If that's not there, Jnanamargam won't help. Jnanamargam is not for us. Jnanamargam is not for you or for me. Whoever it is, if these four things are not there. So, Jnanis are putting that condition ahead, first thing. If you have all these things, come along. Come with, study Bhagavad Gita and follow the process. It will work. If it is a yoga process, yogis are saying here that they also put these restrictions. What you have seen here in this verses. He says, yuktahara viharasya yukta cheshtasya karmasu yukta sopnavabodhasya yogo bhavadi dukkaha. This is general for all the yoga practices. This is a must, a necessary. So, without all these things, Krishna is saying, udhareda alpana alpmanam na alpmanam avasadayat. It's not possible to elevate the soul. Soul won't go very far. It will stay here. So, basically the problem Krishna mentions here is that in the Bhagavatam also you will see the same statement that when one has no intense desire to escape from this world, then world becomes an attraction for everything, isn't it? There's so much to do in this world, so many self-created duties we have to fulfill. And we start telling everyone, I have this duty, that responsibility, this responsibility. Krishna didn't give any responsibility to anybody. We have taken it on our own head. That's where it started, the whole thing. And due to taking it on our own head, it has become a part of us. Now, just like the, remember that story I mentioned, that one person was standing near the riverbank. So, suddenly, a huge bundle of blanket was flowing through. So, one of them thought, let me jump and get that blanket. He went and jumped and swam and got hold of the blanket. After thinking that he'll get the blanket and swim back to the shore, he started realizing after a while it was not blanket, it was actually a bear. It was in the water, it was floating. So when he caught hold of the bear also caught him. Bear will not let him go. So all the people who were standing on the riverbank were telling him, come along, come along. He was just getting thrown away by the water with the bear it was going. He says, I want to come back, but he's not leaving me. Why? Initially he thought it was a blanket and he caught hold of that. But later on when he realized it was a bear, the bear won't let him go. Similarly, all this responsibility, what we have created on our own head, and we are thinking, oh, I can't leave them now. Why? Because they have caught us now. They can't get out of it. And that is what our situation is, really. That is our real situation is like that. We had the freedom, but we thought that we will have this control of all these things, but now we have come under their control. Remember we discussed this Ashraya Dosham before. That same Ashraya Dosham is what is happening here. So, Krishna says here that if we use our relationship with Krishna and use Krishna for our material life, then it will end up in disaster. Vyavaharam and Krishna, two different things. Vyavaharam means the transactions of this world. Krishna is for shelter. Transactions in this world is only for maintaining the body. These should not be linked together. What most of us do, we take shelter of our activities of this world, Vyavaharam, and we do business with Krishna. That is where everything goes wrong. Krishna's point is, one has to take shelter of Krishna and do business with the world. We do business with Krishna and take shelter of the world. That's what happens to all of us, isn't it? This is how we have groomed ourselves. We take shelter of the world and do business with Krishna. That is why we come to Krishna consciousness also, that to do business with Krishna. Every time we're thinking, I'm offering so much to Krishna, what in return Krishna is giving to me? With this mood, if you can continue in spiritual life, what will happen? Because Krishna is eternal, our business will also become eternal. It will never go away. It will develop that a strong business relationship will build up with Krishna. That's what happens to all of us. That's why we'll never become pure devotees. We'll always be this type of devotees, what Krishna is talking about. Krishna is saying here that the business with the world, shelter with Krishna. When we say shelter with Krishna means spiritual life, spiritual realization and identification with the soul and surrendering to the truth is our business, is our shelter. Not business, is our shelter. Business with the world means for maintaining the body or keeping this life going, we have to do certain things in this world. That is business with the world. So, business with the world, shelter at Krishna. What we are now doing is shelter in the world, thinking that my job, my bank balance, my relatives, my society, my community, they will give me shelter. And business with Krishna. Everything goes wrong then. Everything goes wrong. Yuktahara viharasya yukta cheshtasya karmasu yukta svapnava bhodasya yogo bhavati dukaha. Krishna says a person who has come to the yoga position, he cannot afford to do this anymore. If he continues to do this, the whole thing will become a disaster at the end. That is why, and then at the time of death, we have to tell Krishna, I have done so much for you, what have you done for me? We will be asking this question to him. Pick me up, what can I do? Why? I have done business with you whole life, and what do you expect me? I have done business with you, you have been doing business with me, I am doing business with you, in the same way. So that is the reply for that. So there is no point at the time of death. That's what Krishna is saying here. Bhagavad Gita is very straightforward. If you accept what Krishna is saying, this acceptance is more important than doing anything. So long as we don't accept what Krishna is saying, simply keep on interpreting and continuously trying to beat around the bush, that's not going to solve the problem. Problem is, from the very beginning, Krishna is saying here certain things to us, directly to us. Acceptance is more important than anything else. That acceptance is the first step. And Krishna says, if you accept it, the whole process is so simple. Process is not complicated. It is this acceptance more difficult for everyone. Acceptance is more difficult. In the Srimad Bhagavatam, if you remember, we have talked about this earlier also when we discussed Bhagavatam. What was that? When Krishna, Bhagavatam is telling all this truth in the Bhagavad Gita through the stories. That's all. That is what Bhagavatam is all about. Bhagavatam is telling us whatever Krishna has spoken directly in the Bhagavad Gita, which people may find it difficult to straight away accept it. So, Krishna, the Vedavyasa Maharshi and Sudeva Goswami spoke in such a way that it somehow get the message in. Val sanmunjan kojida samaye krosha sanjada hasa steyam swadhyati atha dadibada kalpidei steya yogaihi markan bhokshan vajadasa jail Nati bhandam bhinati dravyalabhe sagraha kubido ya upakroshyatokan. One of the childhood pastimes of Krishna, if you read in the Srimad Bhagavatam, you will find one day Krishna with the cowherd boys goes to the gopi's house. And after going there, what did he do? First thing what Krishna did was he untied all the calves from the where they were tied up. They were tied up with the rope. In the Goshala, they were tied up. Gopis had so many cows everywhere. So, first thing what Krishna did was untied all the cows and let them go free. Let them go free. In the early hours in the morning, they first milk the cows and after that they are allowed the calf to drink as much milk as they want. But when they untied the calf, what did the calf do? Naturally, it will go and drink all the milk first. Isn't it? It will drink all the milk first. So, gopis noticed this naughty thing what Krishna has done. Valsa anmunjan kojit asamaye. Asamaye means it's not the proper time for them to be. Gopis release them afterwards, but Krishna has come and done that in the beginning. And then gopis caught hold of Krishna and questioned him about that. Why have you done this? Sukadeva Goswami says, krosha sanjadaha saha. Ho, 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 started laughing and walks away from them, making fun of the gopis. This is what Krishna has done. Krosha sanjada hasaha. Then gets into the kitchen or to the storeroom and finds out what is stored there. How much milk, how much butter, how much other milk products are there. Started taking everything, stealing and eating them. So they went and complained to Yashoda Devi. Yashoda Devi says to the gopis, why don't you give him something when he comes and asks you? So Gopi says, we have offered him so many times, but he will say, no, my mother has told me not to eat anything from anywhere else. The answer. And then he goes and steals everything. So Yashoda Devi was in a dilemma, what to say to Krishna. Because as far as Yashoda is concerned, my son, best in the world. No, he cannot do wrong, anything wrong, like every mother. So when this happened, the gopis were saying to Yashoda Devi, your son is doing this, he is stealing butter, he is doing this, that and the other. Yashoda Devi said, no, he doesn't do any such thing. So one day, some gopis caught hold of Krishna. One day they caught him and said to him, why do you steal? Why don't you ask? We will give it to you. Krishna's reply, steyam swadvati. When you steal and eat, there's much better taste for it. Steyam swadvati. Swada means taste. It increases a lot more when you steal and eat it. There is no taste apparently when it's given freely like that. Atha dadi bada kalpidai steya yogaihi. Sudeh Goswami says, from this, Krishna has found out a new yoga system like Jnana Yogam, Karma Yogam, Bhakti Yogam. A new yogam he has introduced called Steya Yogam. Steya Yoga means the stealing yoga system. Krishna has introduced a new one into the philosophy. Steyam swadhyati adadadibada kalpidei steya yogaihi. Then what does he do? After stealing all these things, markan, bhokshyan, vibhajadi, inviting all the monkeys and say, you have this, you have that, you have that. Distribution, free distribution, food for life to everybody. Markan, bhokshyan, vibhajadi. After distributing food everywhere, calls his friends, goes inside again, stands on top of one and starts pokes the pot from the bottom. So the milk starts flowing. Nothing is left in the pot. Nati bhandam bhinati. And the milk starts flowing, shows the mouth to drink the milk coming from the pot. So gopis were completely fed up of all these things, what was happening. Actually, they were not fed up. They were enjoying that Krishna was coming and doing all these things. But they used to go, these are all the pastimes in the Bhagavatam that has brought that meditation into their heart at the end, isn't it? Bhagavatam, why Bhagavatam talks about all these pastimes to us? How the gopis got captivated by Krishna's this naughtiness or naughty pastimes of the childhood, how they got attracted and their mind got absorbed in that. Dravyalabe sagraha kupito. After doing all these things, Krishna is going away. While going away, he did one thing. What was that thing? Goes there, the gopis, little babies, children were sleeping there. Goes there and gives a pinch to the face or to the bum and walks away from there. Dravyalabe sagraha kupito ya upakroshyatogan. Upakroshyatogan, it says there. That when he pinched, all the great commentators on Bhagavatam is trying to find out why Krishna has done this. Why has he got to do this? An innocent living entity is sleeping there. And that way a small baby. You're going and giving so much pain to that child. Apparently, one acharya has come up with the best answer. He says, he's asking, who asked you to take birth again in this world? Who asked you to come back here again? So you suffer. Have one more. And sends you back. So, this verse in the Srimad Bhagavatam is pointing out to us that if we don't take the responsibility to get out from here, you have to come back here and you will get a lot of pinch in so many places. There's no point in complaining at that time about it. That is what that verse is talking to us. That's Dravyalabe Sagraha Kuvito Ya Upakroshyatogan. He says the baby deliberately wakes up the child and make the baby to cry and then Krishna goes away from there. So this crying will continue so long as we don't accept Krishna's word seriously. If we don't take Bhagavad Gita's instruction seriously or Srimad Bhagavatam, all these pastime stories, the philosophies only make us to aware that one has to escape from this world at some point. Material existence is not a very pleasant thing. One day the body will go and birth, death, old age, disease. All this Krishna has spoken in the Bhagavad Gita and still we are not decided is it necessary to do all these things. We are still thinking, is there any shortcut? And we shortcut, you will find, okay, you will find a guru, this, that and the other, that's all fine. But Krishna is saying here, that ultimately, if this yoga system, if it's not accepted the way Krishna has spoken in the Srimad Bhagavad Gita, as well as in the Srimad Bhagavatam, Uddhareda Alpan Alpanam, Na Alpanam Avasadaya, there will be nobody at the end to give us any shelter at that point. That is the most important point here. So, having said that, Krishna says here, that the this upakrosya togan. So there he says here, in each house Krishna was looking for the butter, isn't it? Was looking for the butter. That's the only thing what Krishna is looking for. Actually, Krishna is looking at everyone's house. Is there bhakti there? That's the only one what Krishna wants to know. How much money you got in the bank deposit, or what car you are driving, or how big is the palace, doesn't matter. So bhakti is there or not in the person's heart. That is what Krishna is saying. That is why bhakti, jnana, vairagyam, these three things. Bhakti, jnana, vairagyam, that is why Srimad Bhagavatam is talking about these three things, isn't it? Bhakti, jnanam and vairagyam. Devotion, knowledge and renunciation. Three things Krishna has spoken about that. So, with that we will stop today and we'll continue next Sunday. All glory to Srila Prabhupada. Дня на дня, Прабху ки, вчера Прабхупад ки.